All coming.
Yudo Alavia, Thursday the 30th of April, Rabbi Yitzchak Godelevsky, special Shatnas presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining me here. I met somebody last night and asked him, I live in Ezra, but I don't know many people here. One of the few people I know here, I met him last night. I asked him if he's coming to my shir. He goes and he's worried that if I find shatnas, if he's wearing shatnas, I might take off him. Because we know that the halacha, if you meet someone, even in the marketplace, fill up a shukah, that's what it says, you're allowed to take off his clothes. If you see that he's wearing shatnas, you have an obligation to take off his clothes, even in the marketplace, and even if it's your rebbe. But that only applies to shatnas d'oraisa. So we'll see. We'll discuss later what Shatnas Deraisa is and what Shatnas Rabbanan is. Okay. Now I'll just start off. Sorry, I've got to hand out the sheets. If you'd like to.
You can recognize it.
You'll recognize it. Okay. I'll just start off with a. Now we see here. If you have a look at line one, it's just a piece on the Shalat Shuvah's Chasson Sofer. Where he says, Aleinu l'shabech ha'anshei Poland, we give great thanks to the people of Poland, Shem Amidim Magid Meisharim, that they established, they set up Magidim speakers, Boki b'shas v'poiskim, or Boki shas and poiskim, l'hoir islam Hashem, darchi Hashem, to show the people the darchi Hashem, halochas, of Hilchas Shabbos, and Yom Tov, v'chuli, v'dine, Isser v'heter v'shatnas. And v'chein ha'ya b'mei ha'chazal. So the Chasam Sofer says we should be thankful to the people in Poland who set up special speakers to come and speak to the tzibur about the different halachas. Of Hilchas Shabbos, Yom Tov, din Isser v'heter, and shatnas. Now I'm definitely not Baki b'shas v'poiskin, and I'm not going to speak about Hilchas Shabbos, Yom Tov. The one thing that we'll try and get through the next half an hour, just under, is shatnas. Now, the mitzvah of shatnas is a mysterious mitzvah. Many people are not aware. I mean, most of the population, if they grew up to take, when they buy a suit to take it to the shatnas center, then it's very good, but they don't. Most people are not really so aware of all the halachas around it. We're going to try and go through as much as we can. Now, there's two psukim which are mentioned in the Torah. One of them is this week's Sedra. Pashas Kedoshim, Beged, Kalayim, Shatnas, Lo Yale Olecha. A Beged of Kalayim, of Shatnas, Lo Yale Olecha, you should not put on you. And we have another Pasuk in Pashas Kiseitse, Lo Silba Shatnas, Tzemer Ufishtim Yachav. Do not wear Shatnas, Tzemer, wool, Ufishtim, and linen, Yachav, which is together. Now, so Rashi says in this week's Sedra, on the Pasuk of Beged Kalayim, why did we need to have two psukim? We already have a Pasuk, Loi Silva Shatnas, and Pashas Kisei. So why do we need another Pasuk of this week's Sedra? Because it's, in this week's Sedra, it says the word Ubeged, a Beged. From the first Pasuk in Pashas Kisei, it says only Loi Silva Shatnas. We could have thought that we just mean pieces of wool and linen. For example, this is a piece of wool. This is straight off the back of a sheep. I actually watched them shear it off the sheep, and then I bought it for a fiver. It was in some country show in Buckinghamshire somewhere last summer.
They saw you coming.
Yeah. No, they were doing it every hour on the hour, shearing the sheep for the kids. And then I went up to them. Do you think I could buy it off you? Because they were just putting it on the side.
One sheep.
Yeah, this is one.
Big sheep or
small
sheep?
Medium size. Now the reason why it has holes in, actually, the reason why it's quite holy is because It smelled quite badly. So I took it to the laundrette. My wife wouldn't let me put in my washing machine at home. I took it to the laundrette, and I didn't check the settings. I just put it in, I put in the money, and I came back, and it was quite ruined because it was on very hot. My wool has to be on a special wool cycle. But anyway, so we could have thought, so Rashi says in this week's Ezra, we could have thought that if you just take a piece of wool and then a piece of linen, and I've got many pieces of linen over here, those come from the back of a collar. If you just take a piece of wool, piece of linen, put it together and put it on you, then it's awesome. Comes the pasuk in this week's Ezra and says, beged. It can only be a garment. A garment which is sewn together of shatnez. And it's very important to realize that it says in halacha, but when the pasuk says semen, we are only talking about semen of rechelim and elim, which is only of sheep and rams. It's only sheep. We're not talking about camel wool, angora rabbit wool, alpaca, any other wools, or even cashmere. Cashmere, the real cashmere, is from cashmere goat. So goat and camel and rabbit, all different hairs, all different wool, is mutter. There's no problem to mix it with linen. It's only wool tzemer, it's only from a sheep. And which is this, what we just showed you over here, only this type of wool. There's no other type of wool which is forbidden by the Torah, which is awesome. Now, when we talk about linen, linen is only from the flax plant. It grows in the flax, on the flax. It's called flax in the raw stages, and then it turns into linen. It depends which country. And there's different things that grow. For example, there's hemp and jute, which is very, very similar to linen. Yeah, but that is not considered as pishtan. Pishtan is only linen, which is from the flax plant. And if you have a look in 9.7, we see here the Rambam in Hilchas Klein, very good. It says clearly over here, the Issur Shatnez Me'atorah Hu Lilboish Beged Shema'uru Boit Semer U'Pishtim Yachtov. Ve'ein Issur Bas Yosai. There's no problem in manufacturing shatnez clothes, or selling them, or doing business with them, or having a noah. It's no problem at all. The only issue is to actually wear a shatnez garment.
Why would selling them not be a problem with if neighbor?
No, so of course you have to make sure that no youth will ever buy it. But if you... Pardon?
It's just the Max and Spencer. How does you know who's going
to... No, so that if a yid will come to buy it, yes, then you're not allowed to tag it. You have to make sure, of course, you're not even will live in Eve. But there's no problem having a noah from it, doing business with it, selling it, it's no problem. As long as you make sure nobody else will... No yid will come to buy
it. So how will you have a chance to try it out?
Pardon?
If you must put it on, how can you try that precisely?
Well, we'll get to that soon. Okay. Now, if you see over here, the word sharpness is made out of three words. Shua, Tavu, and Luz. Which is three stages of manufacturing a garment. And Shua is combing, which when you take the raw material, and they take special... In olden times, they had two combs. Of course, today, it's all done by machine. And when they comb the raw material, which is this, and then they do the tavu, which is a spinning, where they make it into threads, and then the nuz, when they weave it into a garment. Now there's a machlokes, what is shatnez d'oraisa? We have Rashi, we have Rabbeinu Tam, and we have the Rambam. Rashi, it's very hard, according to Rashi, to wear shatnez d'oraisa. Rashi holds that had all three stages. All three stages of manufacturing the garment has got to be done together. The wool and the linen. The wool has to be combed and spun and weaved together with the wool, with the linen. In all three stages.
In the same thread?
Pardon?
In the same thread?
Pardon?
The same thread?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's two threads together.
Yeah,
but it has to be done all together. Rabbeinu Tam holds.
The only important thing is the weaving. Where you spin it, where you comb it, is irrelevant, surely.
Rashi said, if it's combed and spun and weaved together, all the three stages, The linen and the wool is done together. That is called Shabbos Deraisa. You take fibers of wool, fibers of linen.
You only cover the wool.
Yeah, but if one does it together, according to Rashi, that's called Shabbos Deraisa. If it's not done together, then it's Shabbos Rabbanan. Still also, but certainly Shabbos Rabbanan. Rabbeinu the time holds that only combing and spinning, if that was done separately, and then one did the final stage, which is the weaving, and that was done together, the wool and linen, that's already considered Shabbos Deraisa. And Rambam, which is probably most clothes that I get, which contain wool and linen, either of the stages, even if it's just combed together, or just spun together, or just weaved together, the wool and linen, it's Shabbos Deraisa. But either way, if you have wool and linen in a garment, it's always Shabbos Derabbanan. Now, we have here, Rashi in this week's Sedra. Now, Shabbos is a choik. There's no reason given for Shabbos. And as Rashi says it, 9:10, Beschokoi Sa'i Tishmoiru, Devarim Shein Gzeres HaMelech. It's a Gzera, it's a decree from the king, from the Gzeres HaMelech, from the Eibishter. Sheyetzaharam, Meshav Aleim, Lomelom, Neshomar, why should you keep it? There's no, you can't understand it. Like kashrus eating chazer or wearing shatnas. It's all no reason given for it, and we just do it out of the love to Hashem. We don't understand it. And I heard once about from the Kotzker Rebbe that he says that it would be harder for him to serve a God that he would understand than a God that he doesn't understand. So he prefers to serve a God that he does not understand, and a God that he does understand. It's a very, very profound vart from the Kotzker. And we see here, the Ramban says, even though it's a choik, and there's no reason given in the Torah, but there's still reasons that we can understand. And we see here all the Ramban brings, we won't go through each word, but the Ramban says the whole thing about that we don't understand it, therefore we're not going to do it. We do it because that's what Hashem says, and we do it out of the love to Hashem. And if you have a look in, and of course we do have, there are reasons, and one of the most famous reasons is when it's 9:23, the Medrash Tanchuma brings, we know the famous story, the first two brothers, they couldn't get on together, and Cain brought Mipri HaAdama, which is from the ground, which was linen, and Hevel brought wool. And of course we know that Cain's linen was not accepted, and he got jealous and he killed his brother. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein oidin sheyis'arev minchas achoitei im minchas zakai. Therefore, we don't want to cause further bloodshed, so we avoid mixing wool and linen together. There are many other reasons given. There's one reason I think for the Rambam, that the priests in the olden days used to wear shatless clothes, and so therefore we don't wear it. There are many other reasons given. Now, there's a beautiful the Kli Yochah. The Kli Yochah in Parshas Tetzaveh, he said, when he talks about the discussion of the Big Day Kahuna, it says as follows, V'shivatta ksoines sheish. So the ksoines was sheish. Sheish is linen. And we know that it's a Gemara in Erechin, that all the Big Day Kahuna was mechapa on another Avera. And the ksoines was mechapa on Shvichas Damim. Kli Yochah says, what's the connection? Because we know the Rosh HaMaratzkim, the first person that was a murderer, was Cain. And Cain, why did he kill his brother? Because his linen wasn't accepted. And therefore, we make the ksoines 100% linen, and that's mechapa on the linen, on the chet that he killed. Now, we see, very, very interesting, says the Kli Yochah, that the word sheish, which means linen, is miloshen shisha. And we see there are six orim miklots which was built, and that's miloshen shisha. And we know who was the first murderer, as we said, was Cain. So all subsequent murderers, even so b'shogeg, they go to the Ohr HaMiklat, which is Milosh HaShisha. And the fascinating thing we see, what I see, when I look in the microscope, if you have a look on the other side of the paper, you've got over here a cross-section of linen. Now, cross-section means if you look at a thread from the top, let's say this is a thread, you look at it from this way, and you'll see that each thread, this is 100 times, so each one of this is another thread. You see it has six sides. Six sides, and it's the only thread, the only fiber, which when you put it under the microscope, it has six sides. I've got here, and you can have a look at it, this is all the fibers. You have here wool, flax, cotton, rayon, alcohol, acetate, acrylic, polyester. You can see all the cross sections of it. You can see how it looks in the microscope. The only one which is a six-sided is linen, which is amazing because what does the Torah call it? Sheish, which is linen. Okay, moving on now to practicalities. Now, a person buys a suit, first thing you do, you check the label. That's number one. So you buy a nice, beautiful, this is a nice summer suit. You have here, it's a half a lining. Very light, just in time for the summer. Marks and Spencer, quite expensive, I think it's not too expensive, £199. The first thing you do here, you have a look in the on the label. And if you read this label here, it says 78% wool, 22% linen. So this is a no-starter. Don't buy it, because I will not be able to cut it. I will not be able to sort it out. You can have a look at it yourself. I didn't make this up. I was actually in Marks & Spencer myself, and I saw it there, and I bought it.
Where's the linen? In
the actual fabric that you're looking at now.
It's
Shostak Erev. Yeah. It's wool, linen.
Or in the thread.
No, the actual fabric is wool and linen.
The cloth itself.
The cloth itself is wool and linen. You can have a look at the later itself. Pardon?
Is it coming?
Actually, lately, it's coming. Lately, it's actually coming in. More and more, because people like to wear linen for the summer. It's actually an American thing, actually. And people like to wear it for the summer. It's lighter. Right? Marks and Spencer are... And they got, they even write here, wool with linen blend. It's clearly here on the label, on the tag. Now, talking about labels, a lady brought me a skirt just before Pesach. Now, just before Pesach, a wool, 100% wool skirt. So the first thing I do is I look at the label. So I looked in the label, and I see next to the label was another label. What was that label? Shuttle Center from Berlin. And I'm in Edgware, and she lives in Edgware, but it said here, Berlin, Shuttler Center, checked for Shuttlers. So I called her up, you already checked this, why are you bringing it to me? She goes, no, I just bought it this morning in Marks & Spencer. True story, just before Pesach happened this year. So I said to her, what do you mean, there's a label here from Berlin Shuttler Center, that it's been checked for Shuttlers. Mm-hmm. I just bought it this morning. Anyway, it must have been some returns, you know, Yiddish shtick, we give returns and we buy again. Yeah, it's one of those things. And that's what happened. Anyway, she saved herself, whatever it cost her to. I gave it straight back to her, I didn't have to test it. Now, let's go back over here.
Did this label.
Pardon?
The garment, on the sense. This garment she bought.
Had the label on that was checked for Shuttlers already. Somebody must have returned it, yes. No. Just have a side thing. Now, let's move on very quickly, because we don't have much time. I was told to finish at 9 hours. Now. We have here a jacket. This jacket, I have taken out the lining. I've removed the lining somewhere about. Now, this lining over here, this is a lining. Now, actually, the word lining, believe it or not, comes from the word linen. Because in the past, linings in a suit used to be made out of linen. Now, thankfully, Baruch Hashem, made out of some man-made materials, usually acrylic, and that's not a problem. But that's why it's called lining, because of used to be made out of linen, traditionally made out of linen. Okay, so this is a wool, regular man's jacket, and you can see what goes on inside the jacket. We have here, this is called a front canvas. This is traditionally made out of horse hair. In the olden times, we used to ride on the horse. Today, the horses ride on us. That's how this is actually horse hair. There's a mix of wool inside in there and other materials, polyester. But the main component is horse hair, because horse hair is very stiff and it keeps the suit nice and stiff. This is called a front canvas. Then we have here, this is the shoulder pad. The shoulder pad, that's what keeps every suit like this very nicely. Nice and stiff. Now, inside the shoulder pad, now what can be the problem with the shoulder pad? For example, I have here a shoulder pad that I took out of someone's suit jacket recently. Okay, I did not put it back, yes, because if you have a look inside, this is actually a piece of linen. Okay, they put a linen canvas inside the shoulder pad. Don't ask me why, maybe just to secure it or to make it stiffer or to make it look better. Usually the very expensive suits, it's got very, very thick shoulder pads. So they like to put more and more stuffing inside. Now, according to the law, going back to labels, according to the law, manufacturers do not have to write what goes inside the garment. They only have to write what the actual body of the garment is, the actual cloth. They do not have to write all the trimmings, or the shoulder pads, the collars, everything else, it's irrelevant. It's not the law. There's no law. Besides that, there's also, I think, they're allowed to put up to 2% in the actual garment, in the actual cloth. So this is the problem with the shoulder pad. Now, another common problem with a suit is the collar. The collar has usually two components. Usually it has, here, this is called a felt. Every collar has it, it's a felt. And sometimes in the good suits, they put like a stiffener, which is, this is a piece of linen. Now this is linen, and this is felt, and this is wool. Problem. We also have, there are two types of collars. One which I just showed you now, just a piece of linen. Then we have something called a sandwich collar. A sandwich collar is inside the actual felt, there's a canvas of linen. And that is very hard to identify. What I do is I scratch a little bit away from the felt, and then if you see some other fibers in there, then you have to check it. Usually I recognize it by now, but if I don't, I put it under the microscope. There's two ways of checking this, Tvs iron and under a microscope. Tvs iron is a process that you learn over the time where you can recognize different fibers. It's amazing to see that the Floris arborei, there are three different types of fibers. There's vegetable fibers which grow, which is like linen, jute, hemp, and then we have animal fibers, which is like wool and camel hair and angora and everything that grows on that animal. Then we have man-made fibers. Man-made fibers is like polyester, acrylic, all those are man-made fibers. And it's unbelievable when you look at it in a microscope, you can see it's synthetic, yes. It's unbelievable. Now, there are many, many other problems in a suit. There's actually, anybody give a guess how many places a sharpness tester checks in just one jacket like this? Anyone give a wild guess?
10.
What, 10? No, more than that.
18.
Pardon?
18.
18? No, more than that.
The buttonhole tool.
Yeah, the buttonhole, that's right.
Which goes half.
There are 52 places that every sharpness tester checks a regular suit. 52 places. There are many, many places. For example, there's something called a gimp. A gimp, okay, is, you've got over here, like a line going up.
A dart.
A dart, sorry, that's a dart. And the gimp is the thread going around the buttonhole. And that's very commonly linen in a wool suit.
Is there a shear on the linen at all? Mushroom?
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes if it's one thread which is mixed together, wool and linen, then you can go about the mushroom. But otherwise, usually it's complicated to work it out percentage-wise. Now this is a linen suit, another, this is a linen suit. Doesn't have wool in it. Problem is that this felt in the back is actually wool. Now this person that brought it to me, this was actually last week, person brought this to me. And you can see it's been used. Unfortunately, he was wearing it for a while. Then he was, I don't know how, but he brought all his clothes to me. And this, I told him, I'm sorry, but... And he didn't want to see it back. I told him I can replace it for £30. I can put you on a new collar. Made out of polyester. There's just buy a piece of polyester and put on. But he didn't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I wore it. And he didn't. And he told me I can keep it. So it's very important. Some people, they think that, yeah, the label, it's impossible to know. Every garment has to be checked. We don't know, we can't rely. This is a tie, 100% silk tie. Okay, it's a regular silk tie. Anyone can wear. It's made in Italy. And inside, there's a canvas in there. It's two canvases. This is synthetic, and this is one side is wool, one side is linen. Wool and linen. 100% silk tie.
You have to check all your ties?
So, I'll tell you a little secret. Everyone who's here, I can tell you a secret. You can actually, but it's not 100% foolproof. Okay? You can actually check your own ties. How? Open up your tie inside, just open it a little bit, and you'll see, when you come to the canvas inside, every tie has a canvas. But this only works for silk ties. If you have a wool or linen tie, then it has to be taken into a sharpness center, because they have to check.
Polyester tie, no problem.
Well, yes. Anything which is not wool or linen, you can do yourself. What you do is, you look inside. If it looks like this, it's white. Usually, I'm not giving you a guarantee, but usually, more times, yes or not, it is synthetic, it's fine, it's okay. If you see something coloured, like this, that could be a problem. Should be put in.
Can you check it with a match?
Pardon? No, I don't do that method. There's different methods, I don't do that method. The method of a match is you just burn the wool, and if it smells, then you realize it's wool. Okay, let's go to this innocent little hat, which is a child's hat. And this, it's 80% wool, 20% polyamide. An innocent little kid's hat. Who would have thought to check it in? But somebody brought it. We check. I open it up, I look inside, and we have seams, which keep it together. And in the seams, you can look at it for yourself, inside each seam, there's a linen thread going across to keep them all together. So this is proper sharpness. That's a problem. Cannot be worn. It's an innocent little hat. Who would have thought? This is a skirt, and if you read the label, it says 40% wool, polyester and polyamide, a whole bunch of different materials, but it also says a certain percentage of OF, which means other fibers. So if you see OF, other fibers, or you see MF, mixed fibers, or recycled materials, you can see all different, they write in all different ways. That could be a problem. And this is actually an innocent little skirt, a dress, and this is, it has actually linen fibers going through the whole dress. And some people wearing it as well, unfortunately.
If you buy a garment which is not pure virgin wool, you have a problem.
Now, it depends. If you have an innocent jacket, which is 100% polyester, there's no wool, then it still has to be checked. Only the suit jacket, not the trousers. Because there could be inside other materials, which we don't know about. Now, we're running out of time.
Except underwear, would you say that every single thing...
Anything that says wool or linen should be checked.
And 100% cotton and things like that?
No, it depends what it is. If it has a shoulder underwear, band, it should underwear. Be checked. Pardon? Underwear. No, it doesn't. It's cotton. If it's wool, then yes. People bring me wool socks, for example.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. Wool socks, and if you have boots which have like wool padding, all has to be checked. I'll just end off. We know that the word sharpness, every single letter of the word sharpness, when it's written in the Torah and Ksav Ashuras, you'll notice that it's got, each one has a tag on it. You have a look over here. Every single letter has Kagan. And we know it says in Sforim that somebody who chas v'shalom wears shatnas while he's davening, his tefillas are not accepted. Why is that? One of the reasons given, and this is from the Rikanti, this is a Rishon. We know one of the reasons is because those are like crowns, like sorim. And when we daven, the malachim take our tefillas and they crown it before kisei hakavod. And if someone's chas v'shalom wearing shatnas, then they're missing the crowns. And the tefillas, there's a blockage somewhere, and they can't reach. And on the other hand, it says, if somebody is nizer, he's careful not to wear shatnas, he's zoicha to all the brachas. And we should, I'll give you a bracha, everybody should chas v'shalom not be nichshel in this
this also
thank you very much. I've produced some leaflets. Anyone wants to take it, I give it, pass it on.
Can we have any suits for samples?
Pardon?
Can we take any suits for samples?
You can bring me your suits, I'll sample.
Oh, they're F.
Pardon?
Yes, I'm providing.
Yeah.
Oh, F. Then for other fibers with each other.
Pardon?
Oh, F.
May.
Could be any fiber.
I was saying that we should be checked. This is silver. Take all my dice up to be checked.
This should be checked. 100%.
Can I put out some cards from Shatner Center here in Goldfield?
No politics.
They put my ties and take some of the Shatner
Center. They look like this.
Yankee, you didn't turn off the phone. All my silly comments came on.
I'm a textile business, I know exactly the fibers and how it works.
Is this filter here?
Pardon?
Can I help?
Where's the other?